Okay, we're going to talk about everybody's, one of everybody's favorite words. This is probably ranks there along with, this probably ranks along with the subject of money in that's people's right. favorite concepts here. Now, accountability is not everybody's favorite idea. Why? Why do people not like accountability? Oh, Alton's already running.
He's going to get a pay.
It scares us.
He's going right
it scares us. Why does it scare us?
Because we know we haven't done everything we should do.
Ooh, that's good.
We want to do things our own way.
We want to do things our own way. Thank you. Ding, 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 ding. What else?
We have to look inside our own self.
Ooh, we have to look inside our own self. Ooh, yeah.
Sometimes it's been abused.
Ooh, it's been abused. Very good.
We've got to answer to somebody besides ourselves.
Ooh, that's right. That's right.
That's right.
Do you know why I think...
It's easy to have a Savior, but not everybody wants
the Lord.
That's right.
That's right.
Right? Everybody wants to be saved from their sin, but who wants to answer to the Lord?
That's right. That's
who has supreme rule over you?
That's right.
Who here wants to be a slave? Well, you were a slave to sin before Jesus.
Yeah.
Now you are a bond slave to Jesus. Yeah. A bond slave is someone who, they are free. They do not have to be a slave. Because they love their master so much, they choose to be bonded with them and stay with them for the rest of their life.
That's right.
Because their master has been so good to them, has taken good care of them, has loved them as their own. That's what we are. But nobody likes lordship. I believe the main reason why people do not accept the Lord or want to do that is because they don't want anyone else telling them what to do.
Mm-hmm.
They do not want God or anyone or a church or a book, the Bible, telling them what to do.
That's right.
Doesn't matter if it's right or not. They just don't want that.
What's not comfortable to the flesh?
That's exactly it. Perfect. So we're going to talk about the different types of accountabilities that there are in the Bible. Number one, everyone is accountable to God. Now, this is going to really, if it does not put the fear of God in you, it should. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned.
Wow. I've done a lot of careless words.
Yep.
Yeah.
How many of us just talk? There are some people who don't talk at all. There are some people that are stream of consciousness talkers. In other words, if they think it, they just talk it. They just go. All right? No filter. But remember, we are to take every thought captive unto the
obedience
of Christ. These words come out of our mouth. As Ronnie always says, they are either blessings or curses. There is no in between. There really isn't. These careless words means you're speaking without thinking whether or not these will be a blessing or a curse. Are they drawing people in trust to God, or are they repelling them away from God and pushing them towards the enemy? Thoughtless, careless words, God holds you accountable to them. How do people know what's in your heart? By what you speak.
You know them by the fruit.
Okay, say that again.
And your actions.
And
as the mouth, the heart speaks.
That's right. Now also, you know, it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. All right, but that what that means is it's talking about a king in front of you, sitting in front of someone. He says, yes, come on and eat. But in his heart, he wants to kill you.
That's right.
Okay? So the point is, you are accountable to God for your thoughts, taking them captive, and what you speak.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay? So you are accountable for that. The next time you go to write something and make a comment on Facebook, the next time you get upset when someone makes you angry, the next time you feel ripped off, God is holding you accountable for those words. They're not going to send you to hell. Let me clarify this. We have saving faith and we have daily faith. Remember this conversation? Well, this was on Tuesday night, and forgiveness. Saving faith, you take Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You say, I have sinned. I believe, Jesus, that your blood shed on the cross paid for my entire sin debt. And that is a one-for-all belief in Jesus that says, I take you as my Lord and Savior. And what happens at that moment? We receive the Holy Spirit. Okay? We have our spirit. Well, our spirit becomes alive and connects with the Holy Spirit. And that's how we can hear from God now. Okay? In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon people and speak to them, give them power, and then be removed off of them. Okay? So when you are saved by grace, through faith, that's a one-time faith. That is saving faith. But every day you need daily faith. You need to trust in Him daily for whatever you need, for dealing with the people around you, for whatever it is.
Amen.
So when you mess up on that, that requires you to repent because your sin separates you from God on a daily basis. It's like my husband's a plumber. It's like stuffing up the toilet, okay? Your sin just stuffs up. You can't flush the toilet. You can't do anything. You need to repent. You need that moved out so the water can flow back through, so the living water can flow through you.
Amen.
Your sin stops you from receiving from God, okay?
That's right.
So this right here, you will be condemned, but not condemned to hell. You will be held accountable for every careless word. It's one of those things that just dirties up your life, that you need to repent of and start over and reopen the door between you and God. You with me?
Yeah.
Hebrews 4:13, and no creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Romans 14:12, so then each of us will give an account of himself to God. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, good or evil. Now, for those of us who are saved, we will be called to God, and we will not be shown every sin, okay? That's not what it is. People who are not saved, they will be shown every sin, everything that they've done, okay? For those of us who are saved, all right, we will see, He will show us all that we did. Okay? All that we did for Him. Correct? Accountability for obeying God and for sin. James 2:10. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. Now, this is something I need you guys to understand.
Do we have to follow the law? So all the laws, rules, and regulations in the Bible?
No.
Yes or no?
No.
It's kind of a trick question.
That's right.
Yes and no.
Well, I said, that's true.
Yes. Amen.
Jesus said, I did not come to destroy or abolish the law, but I came to fulfill the law. And what fulfills the law? Love. Okay? Faith, what are the two things? Where's Eric? What are the two things God wants from us? Faith and love. What are the two things the enemy is always trying to steal from us? Faith and love. Okay? And the only thing that matters is faith expressing itself through love. What are the first four commandments? Loving the Lord your God. What are the second six commandments? Loving your neighbor as yourself.
Right.
So if you want to fulfill the law, then you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And that will cover every single law in the book.
Amen.
Someone once told me that the first four were
vertical.
Vertical. And the last six were horizontal,
uh-huh.
and the last six are relationship, and the first four are law.
That's it. That's it.
Good analysis.
Okay, that's exactly it. So when it says here, whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for it,
this is what it means. You don't live by rules and regulations. If you choose to live by rules and regulations, saying, I'm good because I did this, 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 and this, then you will be judged. If you want to keep the law, you have to keep all of it, which means if you miss just one thing,
if you eat shrimp or whatever, you know,
you are ruined.
Yeah.
But God says that's not how we are. You don't go back to the law. We live by God's grace through faith. Okay? Our life is like Adam and Eve in the garden. He would walk with them and talk with them and tell them what they needed to do, and they would talk with him, and he would provide for all of their needs. Does that sound that hard? It was a matter of listen and obey. But people would rather make their own rules and live by laws so they can pick their own rules and regulations and say, you see what a good person I am? God says, that's not how I do it. You cannot be accountable to God if you're trying to be accountable to rules and regulations. Are you with me, or am I confusing you? Okay?
James 4:17, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Now you are accountable for what you know is sin.
Now, you are not accountable for someone else's sin. All right, we will talk about how you are accountable in regards to their sin, but you're not responsible or accountable for what they do. And no one is accountable for what you do. You are accountable to yourself. If God has spoken to you not to do something and you do it, it is sin. Because you're not believing, you're not trusting that what he has said is the truth. Okay? Sin is the opposite of faith. Faith is trusting in God. Sin is trusting in anything other than God. Okay? So if God has told you, don't smoke anymore, and guess what? If you smoke, it's sin to you. But if God has not said to you, stop smoking, because you've probably got bigger fish to fry in your life, then smoking is not sin to you. It doesn't matter what anyone else says to you. You understand? Our lives are by faith.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. God is perfectly capable of speaking what he wants to you so you can hear it.
Yes, he
is. Whether or not you want to swat it like it's a fly and ignore it. Okay? But if he speaks it to you, you are accountable for it.
1 Peter 4, 4 through 5, with respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you, but they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. All right, these people who want you to run with them and do the stuff that they're doing, they're going to have to answer for what they're doing, just the same way as you are, okay? I also believe that they will answer that much more for drawing other people into death and sin. Okay? Accountability of leaders to God. There are different types of accountability.
That's right.
Ronnie and I, and Dr. D. Ortega, and Frank, and anyone who has been in a leadership position for the Lord has a whole nother level of accountability.
That's right.
Now, you guys could go out and, let's say, if you're not an alcoholic or whatever, go out and have a beer. You know, go to a restaurant, have a beer, have whatever it is. Now, it's not illegal for us. It's not immoral for us.
That's right.
All right? Paul said to Timothy, go have a glass of wine to fill your stomach.
But we can't.
We cannot. We cannot because we are held at a higher level.
Right.
And we are never called to be a stumbling block for someone else.
That's right.
For people who are sitting at that table with their margarita in the Mexican restaurant, it's not sin if God has not told them not to do that. You understand?
Yeah.
It's not. However, if he had made it clear to us that if we drink that and there's someone else in that restaurant who knows we need Celebrate Recovery, who knows that we are pastors of a church, who know anything about that, then when we do that, we are actually sticking a stone around their neck, okay, and throwing them into a lake. We're actually harming those people. So yes, as it says, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I shall not be mastered by any. So anyone in a leadership position is accountable to a higher standard, and we are not allowed to do anything that would force someone else or might cause someone else to stumble. Okay? That's what leadership is.
Can I ask a question?
Yep.
If you're, say like this, example, if you're struggling with one certain drug,
mm-hmm.
all right, and you pray to God to take it from you,
mm-hmm.
that's your daily prayer because you really know that it's seeing because God really don't want you to smoke weed.
Uh-huh. So yep.
It's a drug.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't say it don't get you high.
Uh-huh.
That's the rules of it. But if you're struggling with it, should you just continue to pray and let God take it at his will, or should you just, I know you just keep praying about it, and you just sit back, not worry about it, and let God, when he's ready to zap it, he's going to zap it.
All right. I would like some of my guys. Somebody answer this question. So, come on. Yes, Mark.
I struggle with the same thing because, like, for me personally.
Speak up.
I struggle with the same thing because I personally don't use it, but I want to because it helps me medicinally for what I struggle with. So it's a good question. I'm actually
good.
Looking forward to hearing the answer.
All right. Yes.
Me too. As far as like obedience and stuff, I read a long time that there's kind of both. We have to make things happen, but we also have to let things happen.
Okay. All right.
We can take certain steps, but then we also know that God empowers us as well.
Very good. Yes.
God put all drugs, opium, weed, alcohol, man made them sin. So it's what we have done with the drugs that make them sin. Number one, if weed is a drug that you can't lay down, number one, a drug is a drug is a drug is a drug. Number two, that weed is lowering your inhibitions to go do your drug of choice. So, you have to take self-control, the fruit of the Spirit, love yourself enough, and God can only do so much. He may be knocking on you to take that weed from you, but are you really wanting to lay that weed down?
That's very good. Very good. No problem. Yes.
I can use my cigarettes as an example. I went to bed one night, and some of you already heard me say, read the Bible and sucking down 16 ounce can of Bush. I went and had a dream one night where it was just totally delivered of alcoholism overnight. But he didn't deliver me from cigarettes. So I came to the Lord, I went to World Harvest, and I struggled for 6 years trying to quit smoking cigarettes. I'd go as many as 3 days without a cigarette, walk on a job site, and smell somebody smoking, and that's it. That was done with me. 6 years I went like this, struggling with it. It was really a bad thing for me because I couldn't kick it. Then one day, just like that, God took it. No sin. The reality is, and this is what my opinion is, okay, is that we have a responsibility as a Christian, a lover of Christ, to do everything we can to deal with our imperfections that we can deal with. And when it comes down to where we can't do it, then we have to lift it up to God. But just because we lift it up to God doesn't mean we should stop making an effort to quit.
Very good.
Because then the day comes and he sees that you've exhausted all your willpower,
in all your ability, then he steps in and says, okay, time for me to move.
Very good. Anybody else? Charles.
Not everybody gets delivered like that. In my opinion, for me, I still have to try every single day. And
that's good. Now, I'm going to answer this question to the best of my ability. All of us, including me, we have things that we want to give up that we can't. But the reason we don't give things up is because we don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
It's our woody. That's right. It's our security blanket. So what happens is we try to fight the flesh with the flesh.
Come on.
Can never win. Trying to make yourself by your flesh not want what your flesh wants and not go after what your flesh wants is folly. It's absolute insanity. Okay? The only way that you can not use that drug anymore is if you don't want it.
That's right.
So what you have to work on is not stopping yourself from doing it. Oh, you remove yourself. You don't go to the places where the people have it or are smoking it. You don't go to the places where the people are going to sell it to you. You do these things which you know you're accountable for. But the real problem is you're craving for it. And the reason you want it, bottom line, come on, guys. Those of you in Good Shepherd, why have you found you use drugs and alcohol?
For me, alcohol, I've spent 14, 15 to 28.
But why? What did it do for you?
Lower stress.
Lower stress.
Made me forget.
Made you forget? What else?
Stress, forget. You know, it took the pain away. It did everything but helped me succeed.
But it made you feel better because there was some pain or anxiety or something bad going on in your life and you wanted to feel better, right? Yes, tell us.
I didn't put vodka down because I didn't want vodka no more. I just wanted something more.
Okay, very good. But more for what? You wanted more to do what?
I wanted more of God and my son and myself and for the promises and for my calling.
Right, but why did we pick up? All right.
Why? My life stopped and I didn't want to think about
it. Thank you. Okay? Do you understand? We don't want to put it down because it makes us feel better. And if we put it down, what are we going to feel? Bad.
Right.
There's stuff in our life that we don't like. Right. There's stuff in our life we want it to feel better. And then until you are willing to deal with life and not feel good all the time, then that desire and that craving is always going to endanger your life. Now, this is the deal. You put yourself and take yourself away from it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're accountable to do. And then you are accountable to find out what you are trying to cover up inside of you. What hurt are you trying to cover up and feel better? What anxiety are you trying to run away from or de-stress from? What feeling, what is it in you? That's what Celebrate Recovery is about. That's what Life Patterns is about. That's what Good Shepherd is all about. It's not just keeping you away from the world so you won't have access to it, but when we put you back in the world, you will no longer, some of those hurts will be healed so you won't have to try and cover up. And B, you will learn how to deal with annoying people and frustrating circumstances and realize, I can live through uncomfortable feelings and I don't have to cover them up with drugs and alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Our responsibility is not, I'm not going to have any. Our responsibility is looking inward and getting the help you need to find out what you're running from, what you're covering up, what pain it is that needs to be healed so you don't have to have it. Does that answer that question?
Yeah, I'm reading all that other stuff about
accountability for even your words.
That's right.
You better watch out.
That's right. But excellent question. Did that help anybody?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell y'all this because I got some chance to tell you too. But I'm probably the only person at this church to give Penny the most trouble. And but.
Funny.
But over 4 years, she's been beating away at me about, and I followed tooth and nail this one, about waiting and letting God lead you. Because I did something a long time ago. Ronnie said I was like a freight train going downhill without brakes. I never forgot that. But anyway, I tend to get ahead of God a lot. Even though I want to do good, God might have been directing me to go a whole other path instead of the path that Out in Rain was taking, because he thought he was helping this person. And really, God didn't go tell me to help that person.
Come on.
He told me to go help this other person, but I'm running on Out in Rain's thought. So I'm going over here helping these other people, and God's looking at me going, I didn't see you there. That's what are you doing over there?
Very good.
So I had to learn it, but it took 4 years of beating back and forth, of beating, leaving Penny. I followed through the nail off. But anyway, that's how it went with me, and that's what started changing. Well, it took 4 years, but I finally got it.
That's good. That's very good.
I got something. I want y'all to look it up. I won't go all into it. But about everybody knows the scripture, but I don't know if you know the whole thing and context of it. Where Paul over in, I'll read a little bit of it, but Paul's talking over in 2 Corinthians. I think this is the key for all of us. And you know Romans 7, he's like, why do I do these things? I don't want to do them. I keep on doing them, and I don't want to do them. But, you know, Paul was kind of exalted as the apostle he was. And I believe that it talks over there in 2 Corinthians 12, he's talking to the church at Corinth. He says, in 7, he says, and because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh.
Yes.
And a messenger of Satan. And to buffet me, he said, to keep me from exalting myself. You see, there's something broken inside of all of us.
Yes.
And it could have been, this is my thoughts, that Paul, there was a brokenness of, there was some pride there. There was some stuff that he, you know, had to deal with. And I've heard so many services and messages on this, but he said this, he goes on, concerning this, I entreated the Lord 3 times. That it might depart from me.
Right.
And he said to me, this is only red writing in Corinthians or any of Paul's letters, really. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness.
Amen.
We have to get to a place, and I told out this morning, you have to follow up with Jesus. I mean, you have to surrender all to the Lord. And in that area of your life, whatever it might be, it may have been you got delivered of this and that, but there's that one thing that's a stronghold in your life. And that's what Paul's talking about, this stronghold he had. He says, he come to the conclusion, though, that most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weakness that the power of Christ may dwell in me. And therefore I am well content with weakness, with insults, with distresses, with persecution, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then what? I'm strong.
Will you reread that list of stuff in the very last sentence? The very last sentence. Read that again. Guys, listen.
Oh, and therefore I am well content with weaknesses, with insults.
Stop. Insults. Go ahead. What's the next one?
With distresses.
Distresses. Next one.
With persecution.
Persecution. What else?
With difficulties.
With what?
Difficulties.
I'm sorry, what was that word?
Difficulties.
For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong.
What is the one thing, really, the bottom line why we do drugs or eat or shop or have sex or whatever it is? Because we can't deal with life's difficulties.
Well, that's it.
We just want to feel better. But will we always have difficulties?
Absolutely.
So we have one of two choices: to continually cover up the feelings that we feel when we have difficulties with drugs, alcohol, food, sex, shopping, whatever it is, depression, anxiety, or we can learn how to deal with difficulties. We can learn to be content in whatever situation we are in. Do you understand? Every time we have that choice, I'm right there with you guys.
That's realizing, oh, that you can't do this.
Yes.
That one thing you're struggling with more than anything in your life, you can't do it.
Right.
If you could have, you already would have.
That's right.
Right? So then what do? You look at grace. That's
yes.
The supernatural and divine enablement
of
the Holy Spirit. And He is the only one that can do it for you. And you've got to grab hold of that. There's a humility in that, and realizing, like what Paul finally did, says, I can't do this, Lord. I prayed 3 times and it's still here. I'm still being buffeted. I'm still being tormented by it.
And on top of that, we also not only are dealing with these needs and the fact that we just don't like being uncomfortable and, you know, when there are difficulties, once you have done drugs or alcohol or food or whatever it is, those things physically change your body.
That's right.
You're now no longer just fighting your emotions or life. You are now fighting your flesh, which is trained to physically crave what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? You can't do this. You can't use the flesh to fight the flesh. The only way you defeat the flesh is by the Spirit.
Amen.
You have to stuff yourself full of the Spirit so that you are full and that you will not crave for the
Amen.
Flesh.
The
That's the only way to do it.
Yes.
Growing up, life has thrown me an ironic curveball. Growing up, I always, as a child, I always thought I can't wait to be an adult. And then, because back then, the thoughts were, man, being a child really sucks. But then, you know, I grew up and difficulties happened.
Yeah.
And then I thought to myself, man, I wish I was a child again.
Yeah. That's true.
And so we take alcohol, we take drugs, we take everything we get our hands on just to make ourselves feel the way we felt like a child.
Ooh. That's very interesting. For some of us, I mean, that is really it. You don't feel any responsibilities.
That's
right?
Pattern.
You just check out. But that's all very, very good. We're not going to go through the whole sermon because we've had some great discussion this morning. But I'm going to finish going through this, just the accountability of leaders to God.
I love about this church.
To one He gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. James 3:1, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness.
Amen.
Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. In other words, don't make us groan.
Oh.
All right, but what this is saying is the accountability of leaders. Ronnie and I are only accountable for whatever gift, spiritual gifts God has given us, whatever talents God has given us, and whoever, whatever people, and whatever resources He has given us. We are accountable to use each of those. We have to be good stewards. So the money, the tithe, we are accountable for every cent that is spent for that.
Yeah.
Whether or not we are there for you when you ask us to help you in the way that God ordains, not the way necessarily you ordain, all right, we are accountable. Now, we're not accountable for you if you turn tail and run and go run away. We're not going to chase you down. That's not what God is. But who He brings us, we are accountable for as leaders. To teach you the truth, to be there for you, to pray with you, to worship with you, to teach you, to disciple you, and to hold you accountable.
Cry with you, to laugh with you.
That's right. That's right.
You're a covering.
Yes, we are a covering. We are a protection. It doesn't mean we're perfect, but we as leaders are held accountable.
That's right.
For whether or not we did everything he tells us to do for you. If he gives us a word to preach, we are accountable. Whether it's going to clear the house or not, we are accountable to preach it. The other thing is...
those who give the word here too.
Mm-hmm, that's right. We will be judged more strictly than you will. You're not claiming to know the Word of God and teach it. We are claiming, we don't know all of it, but we're sharing what we have learned. We are accountable for that as well, for teaching the Word and knowing the Word.
And preaching the Word correctly.
And preaching the Word correctly. Now, the other thing that I want you to understand, the last one, or no, which one? Not many, second one. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. And I'm going to end with this, okay? Do Ronnie and I get everything right? No. Do we know everything? No. Do even the understanding we have of the Word, are we absolutely positive and sure it's exactly right all the time? No. So when it says that we will be judged with greater strictness, what does that mean for he and I?
It means you're being held to a higher accountability than we are because you're delivering God's Word.
Mm-hmm. But I'm just going to tell you, sometimes I feel just like you all, and whatever it is God gives you, I feel disqualified. I know Ronnie. He's often said, I don't know how God uses me. That is very true. Yes, that too. But sometimes, and Satan will say to you, but look, you don't have victory in that area. Stop you from even trying because you have disqualified yourself because you don't have victory. None of us. Look at me. Everybody look at me in the eye. You ready? Everybody?
Yeah.
No one in this room or on this planet is going to get everything right.
That's right.
Ever.
That's right.
You will always have areas of your life that require the Holy Spirit's intervention and rescue for you. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot hold back your permission for God to use you just because you have not gotten it all right.
Amen.
Even at the end of Samson's life, when he had royally messed up, he was the last of the judges in the Old Testament. And each of the judges, okay, each of the judges in the Old Testament, the 12 judges, I think, what was it, 12? Can't remember. But they mirrored the spiritual correctness, the spiritual and the morality of Israel. The person themselves, how they were matched how Israel was with God. So the very first one was righteous. Very, very righteous. Okay, the second one a little less righteous. And the third one a little less righteous. Until you get to the last judge who was Samson. He was basically a man whore.
That's right.
He was. That was it. He had actually no self-control.
Yeah.
He was a fighter. He was a brawler. He would just go and be with women. This was a perfect, God chose him because he said, this is exactly what Israel is like. You will just, go off with any other god, you will worship any other god, you will show up with a woman from any other nation, you are unfaithful to me. So Samson reflected exactly how Israel was, that he was made the judge. And he messed up, and he messed up, and he messed up. Finally, he told the secret of what God's strength was, his hair, to Delilah. She cut it off. He was taken off. His eyes were gouged out, were burned out, and he was put into a prison and made a slave. The judge of Israel. But he cried out to God and said, please use me just one more time. I'm willing to lay down my life for you, not my way, your way. I don't care, but let me do finally what you have called me to do. And whatever God has called you to do today, I want you to stop right now. I want you to close your eyes. Close your eyes. And I want you to think, if God has spoken to you, whether it was as a child or as an adult, if he has given you just an inkling of what he has called you to or to do, I want you to see it right now. Holy Spirit, bring up to their remembrance what you have spoken to them, what you have shown them in the nighttime, in visions, in dreams, of whatever it is, and spoken prophecies over them. I want you to see that, because God says it doesn't matter what you have done. If you will completely surrender yourself to me. And remember, he doesn't expect perfection. But if you make that commitment in your heart to seek him and to listen and obey and surrender to him, he will still use you for that training. He will still use you for that training. But remember it and be willing to surrender and submit. Just because your day has not come does not mean your day is not coming. You understand? Be prepared in and out of season so that that day pops up in front of you and God says, go, and you're going to do that. All right? Father God, right now I pray that you will bring up in our spirits by your Holy Spirit to remind us that we are accountable to you for every careless word that we speak. For every action, every thought that we're not taking captive, every word that might push people away from you, or the words that draw other people to you. Lord, help us to remember that we are accountable for those of us in positions of leadership, that we're accountable for what we teach, for what we say, for where we go, for who we are with, for what we do, because we do not want to be a stumbling block for anyone else. And Father, help us to remember that our imperfections do not stop you from working in our life and doing things through us. But Father, that our imperfections are the holes in us where you're going to shine your light that much greater. Your strength is going to be made perfect in our weakness. Help us not to think or believe we're disqualified from what you want to do in us simply because we don't get it right all the time. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.